Scripture reading this morning will be coming from Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by the name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in a manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, and cutting jewels for setting, and carving wood, and work in all manner of workmanship. And I need to have appointed him Aholiab, the son of Ahishmach, to the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans that they may make that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the future of the tabernacle, the table that unseals the pure gold lampstand with unseals the altar and incense, the altar of burnt offering is with all unseals and the layer of its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments of Aaron priest, and the garments of his sons to minister the priest, and anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you they shall do." And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. The holy Lord, whosoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout the generations, and as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it was when he had made an end speaking with him on the Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God."
He did not back up when he asked me what the scripture reading was. I told him Exodus chapter 31. He kept looking at me like, "Okay, what verses?" I said, "The whole chapter." I said, "Can you handle it?" He said, "I got it." And he done a good job. Even with the tough names, he done a good job. Miss Mary Brown, I can draw a crowd. I can draw a crowd, no doubt about it. Appreciate all of our visitors for being here. We do. Miss Mary did bring a good crowd. You know, I know two famous people that's born on this day. Actually, I know one real well, and I've heard of the other one and heard him sing a lot. And did not know that Miss Mary and Elvis shared the same birthday, and that is two famous people right here together. You know, Elvis impacted a lot of people's lives. Everybody knows Elvis. But I'm going to tell you something. Miss Mary Bryant's impacted a lot of people's lives, too. If you ever made it through fourth grade at Treslin and you didn't get a paddling, I was going to qualify. I got my paddling in fourth grade, but Miss Mary, and I love her anyway. I love her anyway. Great, great woman. Happy birthday. We love you, and we're so proud your family's here with you this morning. Isn't God great? I mean, he really is. Steve started off class this morning. Got to thinking about our prayer service last Wednesday night. Those of you that were not here, I just want to share a little bit about what we did Wednesday night. We went around the room, several of the men got up and prayed, and so many of those prayers have been answered since Wednesday night. Steve was talking in class this morning. I started to speak up and say, we don't need to forget to thank God. Because we all prayed and cried together on Wednesday night, and Mickey is now home. Emily is doing well on her way home, and we've got a thank you letter here I want to share with you that was handed to to me on their behalf. But think about God and think about how awesome He really is. How that we as Christians can come together and we love each other and we care for each other and we bow our heads and our knees. And we ask God, please be with our brothers and our sisters. Because we love them and we need them and we want them to feel better. And God answers that. Dear church family, for over the last year and a half, our love story has had some rough chapters. You have loved and supported Drew and me through these rough times. I cannot imagine all you have done for us. You have prayed unceasingly and earnestly for my healing, and God provided. You have prayed for our strength, and God strengthened our love for each other and our determination to make it through whatever faced us together. Some of you gave us money to help us not be in need. For that, we are grateful. Some of you called and came to see us. For that, we are grateful. All of you have kept us in your thoughts and kept us lifted up. For that, we are grateful. Thursday and Friday, I could feel blessings and know they were because of your prayers. Today, we begin a new chapter in our love story. We both cannot ever let you know how much we love and appreciate everything you've done for us. Christian love is a wonderful blessing that shows itself in many ways, and to that I say amen. Continue to pray for us and our families. Please pray for Sarah Reeves and her family. Without her gift, I cannot imagine how my future would have been. Consider being a donor yourself. There are so many people needing the gift of healing that comes only from a gift by others. Our book is not finished. There are chapters yet to be written, but you can know that you are part of every page yet to be penned. We love you and will see you all as soon as possible. In Christian love, Drew and Emily Kelly. Where else would you want to be than a part of this family? Take a minute and look around. Look around at the people sitting in this auditorium right now. We're missing some. Some are sick and some are traveling and some's about to travel and things are going on. But you're part of this family. And it's so great to have a family that loves each other. And I want you to help me for just a minute this morning as we think about building a house. Building a house. Stay in Exodus chapter 31 because God gives us some instructions here in these 18 verses. But I want us to take these 18 verses and I want us to think about building a house. What is required? Help me for just a minute. Don't anybody speak up. But in your mind, help me plan on building a house. What do we need? First of all, you got it in your mind, you need some land. If you're going to build a house, you've got to have some land. You know, land is so important when you think about building a house. Well, number one, you got to have a place that your wife can go and plant flowers and trees and you get to weed eat around them all and you get to mulch them all and you get to take care of all of them. I'm kidding about that. But we have land that we take care of and we sow grass and we fertilize it. Then we cut it and we spend our whole life cutting grass. We want things to look real pretty around the yard. So the first thing we need if we want to build a house is some land. The second thing we need to do is we got to go get some 2x4s, 2x6s, 2x8s, plywood. We've got to get some wood and lumber together. And we're going to use that to be our bones and our structure that we want to build that house with. And the third thing we need is some nails and glue. Because we got our land, we bring our timber, our lumber in here, and we put it all together, and somehow we've got to tie it all together. We're going to tie it together with nails and glue. Oh, and when we get done, we're so proud of what we've created. You know, and a house is so much more than just a place to go to sleep at night. Think about everything that's gone on in your life, inside your home. Think about your family, your children being raised in that house maybe. You think about when it's raining or when it's storming, you want to get home. At least I do. Whenever things are going on in life, there's one thing I want to be, is I either want to be home or on my way home. There was no doubt in my mind that when Jay found out he had less than a week to live, when I asked him the question, do you want to stay at St. Jude or do you want to go home, I knew where we were going. He did not hesitate. He said, I want to go home. And that's why it's important that when we think about building, and I know a home and a house is two different things, but at the same time, we're talking about building something that we can feel safe in, building something that when we all come together, me and Wendy and Daniel and the kids and my family, when they come over to my house, we're inside a structure that we feel and are somewhat protected. Matter of fact, we're protected to the point that most people won't just open the door and walk in. Because David, that house down here is set aside for us. Now we welcome people in our house, but the average person don't just walk in. I hope you followed Jacob when he was reading this chapter this morning, because it's so much when we think about Moses and we think about how we can take building a house, and we can talk about what God did right here and what God uses to build us today. Number one is found in verses 1 through verse 11. And I'm going to give you somewhat the abbreviated part of the first part of this because of the time that we have. But if you look at verses 1 through 11, God builds us, first of all, spiritually. There's not a one of us in here this morning that should not take in account and be thinking right now in our mind that, number one, God is building me spiritually. You know, it's important for each one of us to grow that way. We've got to have something that we base everything that we do on, and that is the land. We're going to start with our land as we start building our house, and that's what God is referring to in the first 11 verses here, how that we have got to be built spiritually. You know that today, if God gives us a task, He's going to give us everything we need to complete it. God does not set us up to fail. God sets us up to succeed in everything that we do when it pertains to Him. Now, we may fail at things today, but it'll be worldly things that we fail at, or because of Satan that's allowed to come in our life. But God is not going to give us tasks and us not have everything we need to succeed. What are you talking about, Tim? Well, first of all, you can go back to Jesus. You can go back to Jesus and you bring Him into our lives. Folks, we have succeeded. When we accept Jesus and we believe that He is the Son of God and we turn away from sin and we confess Him as our Savior and we're baptized for the remission of our sins, we are a new creature. Not only do the sins that we have in our life when we become a Christian, the blood of Jesus washes those away, it changes the way that we live, and it changes the way that God sees us. And that's important to us. And God give us that. This morning in class, David quoted John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Exactly right. God has given us a way to get to heaven because we didn't have it before. And the task that we have today is to get ourselves from here to heaven. Yesterday, Jacob Peavyhouse and I were working, and we worked for some time. We're trying to get moved into our new building. We got done working yesterday, and we decided we had to go to Jackson to pick up some things for the warehouse, and so he rode with me. We ate a pretty good lunch. Not good for you, but it was a good lunch. Something about after lunch, you get sleepy. And we were coming back from Jackson, and Jacob began to complain, and I know that's hard to believe, but he began to complain, and he said, "I'm tired. I could take a nap." That might have been me that was doing that. I don't remember. If he didn't say it, I agreed with it. I forgot which one of us said it. I said, "I'm tired too. I could take me a nap." And we was coming back, going back to the warehouse, and we was between Atwood and Mackley at that point. And I looked down at the odometer, and I said, "You know, we've done been over 106 or 8 miles, whatever it was." I said, "I'm ready to get home." He said, "Yeah, me too." I said, "You know, we'll never get there if we keep going away from it." Did you catch that? We will never get home if we keep going in the wrong direction. If we find ourselves going away from home all the time, we're not going to get there. And that's what God gives us. He gives us direction. And he says, "This is how that you get home." And you follow that path and you follow that course. How do you feel when we think about the challenge? We know that he builds us spiritually so that we can get to heaven. But you know, he builds us spiritually so that we can help others to be saved. Y'all remember the three things I've said several times since I've been here that God expects and commands and wants from us? He wants us to obey him. He wants us to worship him. And he wants us to evangelize. He wants us to tell others. And he gives us what we need to evangelize. And he's laying the groundwork there in the first 11 verses. Think about, how do you feel about building his kingdom today? Really, how do you, don't look around, but how do you feel about building up the kingdom today? Are you interested in helping the church to grow? Are you interested in telling someone about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Are you interested in getting people to obey the gospel? Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 tells us that that is our great commission. That's our challenge that we have. Starting in verse 18, he says, "All power," Jesus talking, "all power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Then he says, "Go." The authority that Jesus starts with, he wants us to know that I have that power, and then he switches gears and says, "Go." Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16 says basically the same thing. It's a great commission. We are to go and to preach and to teach and to persuade and encourage people to come to Jesus. You know, last several months, we have talked, and a lot of people have talked about our world, especially our country, how it's slipping away. When we think about the morals, when we think about where people stand and the way people live, and the challenges that's in front of our young people, whether you want to talk about homosexuality or no matter what you want to talk about, the challenges, Satan has got a strong hold on a lot of things. Boy, that ought to light our fire. As Christians, that ought to light our fire in the sense of saying we've got to work harder and we've got to do more. We have got to teach and preach and share God's love. Not that we do it in a hostile way, but that we do it in a loving way. The more that Satan pushes, the more we've got to push back. Because that's what God put us here for, is to push back against Satan. What was it that Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through verse 16? He starts off in verse 13. He says, "You're the salt. You are the salt." Then he goes verses 14 through 16 or 17, wherever we ended there, and he goes further and says, "You are the light of the world. Not only are we the salt, we are the light. So when Satan grabs hold and he pushes against us, we push harder. Number one, we got our land. We got our land, and God builds us spiritually, and he will not put a task in front of us and not give you everything that you need to accomplish it. God's taking care of us. We can accomplish it. Number two, if you look at verses 12 through 17, God builds through fellowship. Through fellowship. I don't know about you, but I need you. I need you. I need you in my life, and I need you to tell me some days, David, it's going to be okay. Believe it or not, there's days that this old boy right here thinks it may not be. Things can happen in life, and you look around, and you say, this is bad. I don't know that I'm going to be able to keep standing up. And I need someone to come along and love me and tell me, no, Tim, you're going to make it. And that's the fellowship that God gives us. He didn't put us here alone. Not only do we have God and our Father in heaven and Jesus our Son, we've got each other. And we've got to build that fellowship with each other, build it to the point that we know that we can depend on each other, that we can grow. God calls us to fellowship on the first day of each week. He says you come together in this period of worship and in this fellowship. You break bread together. You remember my son, Garrett, before he prayed, he talked about all the blessings that we have and that we're going to have a prayer for what God has given us. And we're going to give back a portion. We're going to give a little back. You know, the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup means so much to us as Christians. It can bring you to tears, and it should when we think about that. But Nick is humbling as well when we give back to God, because when we think about all of our blessings that we really and truly have, y'all, it all comes from God. And this little person standing here in front of you, Tim, is going to give just a little bit of what I have back. And I'm saying, God, please accept this as my sacrifice and my offering. Oh, it's something when we come together to worship. It's something when we sing songs together and when we pray to God together and we say amen together and we study the Word of God. That's the fellowship that we need. But you know, to me, fellowship goes outside of worship service as well. It's in a few minutes when we go back here and enjoy a meal, and I'm hungry and I'm hurrying because I know y'all may be hungry too. But it's going back here and enjoying this meal together. It's seeing John Henry down to Little General every morning and us shaking hands and talking. And I go over to him because I love him. And I know there is my brother. And that's the fellowship that we share with each other. And God gives us that so that we can succeed. I've got about 12 verses here I had written down I wanted to read. I'm going to skip through some of them. I'm going to call them out in case you're taking notes or writing down. But first is Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You know, that was when the church just began. They were still learning. They were still making the commitment that we've all made, or most of us have made in here this morning. They were following through with that, and they continued steadfastly in what they had just learned. Oh, the challenge for each one of us is, are we going to continue that same way? I like that word, steadfast. Are you going to stay steadfast right where you're at, serving God and in fellowship and in breaking of bread? 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9 says, God is faithful. God is faithful by whom you are called unto fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 4. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. Ephesians 3 and verse 9, Philippians 1 and verse 5, Philippians 2 and verse 1, Philippians 3 and verse 10, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse, or 1 John 1 and verse 3, all has to do with what we're talking about here of the fellowship that's so important to each one of us as Christians. And the final one I want to read is found in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that a wonderful verse? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, it says, we have fellowship one with another. Now listen to this again. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Second thing God tells us and he gives us is he builds us through fellowship. And then third and finally, he builds us through his word. God builds us through his word. With that being said, we can't take our Bibles home and we can't shut them. We've got to be students of the Bible. We've got to be able to defend the truth. We first of all need to be able to know the truth so that we can know that we're doing what God expects and wants from us. So let me ask you this morning, do you know the Word of God? Do you know the Word of God? Can you sit here this morning and say that I am comfortable with what I know from God's Word? Have you obeyed his word? Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Those are two key words in there that we like to talk a lot about. First of all, is that belief. How much do you believe this morning? How much do you believe the word of God? Do you believe it to the point that you're going to allow it to change your life? Make a change in your life if you need to. And that's the second thing we have to do is repent of our sins. You know, Steve brought up many good points, but one that stuck in my mind this morning in class was we shouldn't be different on Wednesday night than we are some other time. It's probably not how you worded it, but that's how I took it. Don't be one way at church and be somewhere else, another way somewhere else. Living a Christian life is living it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We may make some mistakes. But people ought to recognize you as a Christian. Young people, older people, everybody in here, whether you're at school or whether you're at work, no matter where you're at, people ought to recognize you as a Christian. And that's part of what repentance is I'm going to make a change. And I'm going to start living for God. Confess that he's Lord. The Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. You know, Jesus is the living word. And he builds us through his word. Jesus builds us up. Him in our life, we have victory. Without him, we're going to lose. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we're about to sing a song of encouragement, and we're going to encourage and we'll be praying that if anybody in here is not a Christian, that you will become one today. But we're also going to be praying when we stand and sing this song. If someone is here this morning and has been unfaithful to God and you are not in the right relationship with God, allow the blood of Jesus to get you back to where you need to be. Won't you come while we stand and sing?